What is up? What is up? Hi. Welcome to another episode of Lean Addict, where I will be covering the basics and essentials of the intermittent fasting. Okay, so intermittent fasting is it's pretty famous because it's easy, and people always look for the easy way out. Okay, so we all need fast results, instant gratification, so on. So this has been prevailing in the times. For quite some time, and it has got great benefits when it comes to certain when you incorporate certain types, okay, because there's different methodologies where you can actually incorporate this in your lifestyle. So quickly, just want to share the screen and then let's just get on to it. So fasting has always been there, okay. If you just even if you just take a look at the ancient times, okay, in the most religious times, they always had this fasting of. The Hindus fast for every once in a week. Christians go on a Lent season. Buddhists, they do the fasting. Even the Muslims do that for about the Ramadan season. You know what I mean? Jews do it. Definitely Jews do it. So it's always been done in the religious times as well, but there's always a scientific reason as to why they do it. Okay, so let's just dive in quickly. I just wanted to break down the concepts as to how we're going to be proceeding with the intermittent fasting. Okay, so first I want you to understand the fasting. So what is fasting? Fasting is nothing but skipping off a meal. Okay, skipping off meals slash meals, right? So there is a specific pattern that we all operate in. We all have a different operating model. Our physical activity, our meal consumption, the way we basically live our life. So it's always been different for everyone. Okay, even if in the same house, a husband and wife, or everybody has their own way of doing things. I mean, most houses, they have their own way of doing things because they have own respective schedule. So if you are supposed to eat a meal, let's say at 10 o'clock in the morning, right? If you miss that, okay, it could be a miss, or if you're intentionally deliberately doing it, it's fasting, right? For XYZ reasons, okay. Different people do it for different things. They, like I said, what we discussed earlier, it could be for religious purposes, it could be for like God, or I don't know, it could be for different reasons, okay. So that's pretty much the fasting. So how we can strategize this intermittent fasting protocol, okay. So this is a very effective type, okay. If anybody wants to lose the fat, if anybody wants to lose the weight, I'm sorry, okay. There's a difference between losing weight and losing fat. So the first one is the time method. How you're going to take this approach is due to the time restrictions. How you're going to do it is dividing the 24 hours into two sections. Okay, so it's like you have 16 hours of fasting and 8 hours of eating. So that's time period that you can allot to for yourself. Okay, and another one is the 18 hours of fasting. Or sleeping, right? So it's a 16 hours of or 18 hours of fasting or sleeping, and then 6 hours or 8 hours of eating. So that's the window, the smaller window that you have where you're going to be feeding, and then the remaining time you're going to be fasting. But you need to be timing it again for your body to actually function in that way, for your body to actually adapt and then function, and then eventually improvise. Okay, so improvisation, I'll be covering it a little later. So this is the basic on the time restrictions of approach towards the intermittent fasting. The next one, what we have is alternate days. Now, this is kind of a little advanced. So if you have to even go in order, the first one would be 16 is to 8 ratio, and then eventually go to the 18 is to 6 ratio, and then come to the 5 is to 2 and 6 is to 1. It's nothing but we all have 7 days in a week. So what we can do is like 5 days of normal eating, regular eating, and then 2 days of absolute fasting. That means just surviving. Well, sometimes with the water, sometimes without. I don't recommend without the water. I don't recommend this whole concept at all, but it's just that there are a lot of misconceptions are going on in the market. So I just wanted to bring it down to you, okay? Based on my research. So if you just take about 5 days of eating and then 2 days of absolute fasting, and then if I have to just put it on a weekend, weekday basis, weekdays you're gonna be eating and then 2 days of absolute fasting, and then eventually gonna be getting back on a Sunday or a Monday, you're getting back. So That's how it is. Will it fast track the course? Yes, it will. But for first couple of weeks, you're going to be having tremendous amount of difficulty in terms of adapting this whole situation. Because the 5 days you've already been doing certain things, and the 2 days, it's kind of like it gets really hard after a couple of weeks, because your brain will start functioning in a very different way, and then you won't be able to give up on the craving for a while. You know what I mean? And eventually you'll fail. So if you actually fail, and that's not actually counted, right? And then you have to carry on with the same pattern on the next week, and the next week. It's gonna prolong, but then you have to be like, the fight goes on in your brain, and it's a lot of like a hard work, I would say. It's not a smart way of doing it, but if the consist exists, yes, it does exist. All right. The next one is, again, 6 days of eating and then 1 day of absolutely nothing. So it's just pretty much these are the types of protocol that we can approach the intermittent fasting lifestyle. All right. So the next one I want to talk about is the nutrition. So when you are actually having the fasting window, you don't really have to worry about it. Just the water, and then that's pretty much it. But if some people actually go for the coffee, because if they really wanted that kind of energy or something, you know, skipping a meal and then just go for the coffee would be like kind of coffee, as in not regular coffee. I'm not talking about a cappuccino. All right. I'm talking about a pure espresso. That's like pure instant black coffee with no sugar, just the hot water and the coffee. Right. So that's the best way to approach it so that it just gives you a little bit of energy for you to be functional for that, you know, the completion of 8 hours or whatever. And then you can just, get onto the eating window. Right. So during the eating window, what are the things that you can possibly have? Right. I mean, I want you to stick with the basics. By basics, I mean, it's just the basic food. Okay. Don't go for anything supernatural or packaged or processed or anything. Right. So the first one is grains. Well, I wouldn't just put the grains on the first. I would just definitely put the protein in the first, because that's more essential than the grains. Okay. So proteins, what are the possible things that you can have? Would be number one would be the poultry, because the best source of protein you can have it in eggs and poultry. And then you have the beans and lentils, seeds, sunflower seeds, you know, flax seeds. Flax seeds doesn't have much protein, a lot of fats, but then can have other type of seeds. And then fish, definitely. Cottage cheese, low fat cottage cheese is pretty hard to get. But then if you can make it at home, there's nothing like it. It's just the purest form. But, you know, like, so these are the basic things that I want you to follow. I mean, fish, you can have it. As much as the protein it contains also a lot of fat. Not a lot of fat, but then it's kind of a good amount of fat. And it's a good fat, so you can just have it. But if you're consuming fish, make sure that you're having a watch on the carbohydrates, because it's always like the way you need to eat. This is the pattern you need to have for every single meal. This is what I want you to do. It's like, first thing is I want you to consume the protein and then either fat or either carbohydrates. But unfortunately, we mix things up and then we have everything together, because we've been brought up that way, saying that eat more, fill your stomach, right? Unfortunately, that's very bad. So poultry, eggs, beans. I don't know why I didn't add the eggs in here. Okay. Definitely egg whites. Okay. Yeah. Poultry, beans, lentils, seeds, fish, cottage cheese, low fat, and egg whites. So these are the possible things that you can have. So if you have a proper planning as to how your day is going to be looking like for today or for tomorrow, some people, like for me, I plan every day on the prior day. For tomorrow, I plan today. So if I have to cook or store or do the meal prep, I do it on the previous day, so that I just don't have to, you know, pay attention to that. You know, being anxious about what am I going to do for my next meal. I don't have to think about that. I always plan my every meal. So it just kind of makes my life easy in several other ways. Okay. So protein, just try to add all of this in your diet. Like really best source. So vegetables, I'm not really added what are the vegetables that you can have. I mean, you can possibly have every type of vegetables, but then just be a little watchful on the potatoes. Apart from that, I think you can just have it. Okay. Vegetables, guys, just listen, even the French fries are vegetables, but then you know what I'm talking about. So boiled. So the one way to have it is boiled, just boiled vegetables. Now, people just say, I don't want to be having boiled vegetables. You don't have to. Nobody's asking you to. Okay. But if you're really looking forward for burning the fat, or if you want to just get onto this journey and then get faster results, then it demands certain types of food and certain types of lifestyle so that you will be able to get the result. Okay. If you want to say, I don't want to be sacrificing on the food, good for you. Don't do it. But if you ask me, like I said, the lifestyle is going to tax a lot from you. Okay. But if you're not ready for it, forget about it. This is not for everyone. Okay. Getting fit, staying healthy is not for everyone. And that's why more than 70% of the people are overweight and obese. Okay. So, you know, it's just the basics. So what you put in is what you see outside. Anyway, so boiled vegetables is the great way to have it. Just to do a little bit of salt and pepper, maybe a little bit of peri-peri sauce, or I mean peri-peri seasoning, or garlic, or anything of that sort would be like great. Oreganos or thyme, you know, just dried, sprinkle them up on the vegetables, and the great way to have it. Another one is smoothies. Smoothies are one of my favorite because I hate like downing my vegetables too, especially my greens. So what is what I do? I buy all the spinach and all types of like the coriander, the curry leaves, and then, you know, lemon and all that. So what I do is like I blend them up. So once I start cooking it, I heat them up. Once it's done cooking. What I do is I blend them up and then put it in the shaker and put it in the refrigerator. So I can just pick it up and just drink it. So it's green. I know the fiber breaks down when I blend it. I know that, but still I'm like, it's really hard for you to just take so much of. This is something that I have always been experienced, that it's really hard for you to just, you know, pay attention to the greens, and then you won't be able to have it on a regular basis because it's not just about having, but also you need to buy them and purchase them and then, buy them and then cook them. So when you're considering that it's taking a lot of time, people just tend to neglect it, you know, because I'm lazy. And I don't want to be paying like 2 hours on cooking the vegetables, right? So what I do is like I kind of blend them and then drink them up. So sometimes I even add the beetroots or carrots or anything like that in the smoothie, and a little bit of salt, and then maybe a couple of chilies, and then lime and a little bit of aloe vera and all that. So this is kind of like gives you a really good blend of vitamins and minerals, which you can down in minutes. You know, it just goes down so smooth. You know what I mean? The raw vegetables, you can have like, you know, the carrots, beets, cucumbers, zucchini. Not sure if you can add the zucchini, but then you can definitely add spinach, the raw spinach. You know, you can wash the spinach and then put it on the eggs if you can have it that way. Eggs, avocado, and spinach are the, like, it's got an amazing combination. Right. So those are the raw. And the next one is sweet potatoes. You can have it. The reason as to why I put it differently, separately, is because there's a difference. Sweet potato has got a good amount of sugar. It'll give you a good amount of energy. But comparing to the white potatoes, sweet potatoes are better because it just better in terms of muscle building, or it's even it wouldn't spike the insulin as much as potatoes does. And again, it's a very complex carbs, so it's going to stay in your stomach for a while. It's going to be very satiating, and it's not, you know, you won't feel hungry after if you eat sweet potatoes, and then, you know, so it'll just, you know, reduce your appetite, which is great. It gives you a good amount of energy, and this is the best choice for you to have it if you wanted to go before, if you want to train. So you have to have this before your training and then go for the sweet potatoes, which is like amazing. So obviously, like I said, always you should include the protein first, you know, consume the protein first, and then include any of this. Okay. So that would be a good way to strategize things for the lean lifestyle. Okay. Let's jump on to the fats. Now, fats, there are like the basics. Again, I want you to stick to the basics. Okay. If you want to have, like, you can have fish. I mean, but it's not just about eating it, but how you're taking it. Again, it matters. Okay. But the way we cook it, like, we complicate the food. Okay. If you just take the chicken, we make the chicken curry or anything like that, and we just super complicate it. And then obviously it's going to lose the flavor, the meat flavor. Even if we just take the eggs, we put pepper, we put chili powder, we put a lot of seasoning, we put onions, and we put everything. It's actually losing its natural flavor. guys, it's got its own flavor. And if you just kind of like eat it, you can actually eat a lot more. I don't even know why people put so much of things. And some people even fry the eggs. You know what I mean? It's causing instant dopamine spike in your tongue. Through your tongue, in your brain. But eventually it's going to hit your back and it's not good. Okay, don't complicate it. I mean, we have a lot of seasoning. We have a lot of masalas going on. It's all empty calories, not going to give you any added benefits. Like it doesn't necessarily contain any health benefits. Okay, so stay away from it. Just keep it simple. Fish, what I do is like, I go for the fish oil. I mean, I don't necessarily recommend any supplements, but if I have to, I go for the multivitamins and fish oil. I just want to stick to the basics. If I'm not able to consume the vegetable on a regular basis, this is what I do. So fish and fish oil, that's pretty much it for the fats. Okay. That's pretty much it for the fish side. And the next one is the avocado. Avocado is great. You can put it in on the bread, you can mix it up with the egg. You can just have it like that. But you know what? There's a funny thing that I have seen people, you know, blend the avocado, which we call it as a butterfruit. Okay. And then they put the milk in it, the first damage, and they put a lot of sugar in it and bury it in it and just drink it. And that's like suicidal. Okay. That's suicidal. There's no point in having, this is like having a cake and then, you know, compensating that for the green tea. Doesn't work that way. It feels good. Maybe you can think that it's good, but then it doesn't work that way. That's not how you reverse the damage. So that's another way to have it. You just can pour it in the tablespoon and then just drink it up just like that. That's another great way of doing it. Again, the reason as to why I'm insisting on the oils, which is fat, is nothing but, you know, the better oil that you consume, okay, the better fat that you consume, all the bad cholesterol is going to go away. So the bad fats are going to go away. So you need to tell your body, you need to make your body understand that I'm getting enough fat, so I don't have to store the fat. I can take it out. Okay. Only then it will start tapping onto the fat, the stored fat. Okay. So you don't need the fat, whatever is being stored as. So when you consume things like this, it's going to take away. Right. The next one is the coconut oil. Coconut oil is probably one of the best. Remember that I told you can have the coffee in the way that I told. So in that, what you need to do is just pour a teaspoon of coffee. Teaspoon of coconut oil. Drink it up. It's a great way. And coconut oil has got so much of added benefits. It even kills virus. And the best time to tell it during the COVID. But coconut oil has got so much of benefits. Okay. And the nuts, again, I want you to keep it from 15 to 20 grams a day. Just don't fry them, just eat it raw nuts, like the cashews or almonds or walnuts and all that. But because it's got zinc in it, and I don't want you to be overloading with the fat, so just keep it to 15 to 20 grams per day, because you're also having the egg yolk or any of the above mentioned oils and all that. So if you're just taking that, I want you to equalize it by not having it. But if you're not having any of it, you can just definitely go for the nuts. But then again, 20 to 25 grams would be like 15 to 25 grams would be in an optimum level for a person to have it, provided you're working out as well. Okay. Next one is the olive oil. Olive oil, you can use it for the seasoning. Don't use it for the frying. It's not a good option to do that. But yes, olive oil, definitely you can use it for the seasoning, or you can just drink it just like that. Olives or olive oil, anything of that. Okay. Yes. So we've covered that, the fats. And the next one, what we have is the grains. So what are the possible types of grains that we can have during the feeding period? Okay, number one was obviously the oatmeal. Now, I don't know why people hate it. Oatmeal has got its own flavor, and our Indian corporates have spoiled it by adding strawberry flavor and masala oats and whatnot. It's kind of like sick, guys. Let me tell you that, okay? Because oatmeal as a grain, it's a purest form, and then it's got a lot of complex carbs in it. But we are doing a damage by adding a lot of other seasonings in it. I'll tell you what. If you just cook your oatmeal and then have a little bit of dark chocolate, which is no sugar, okay, it tastes great, okay? Or oatmeal, dark chocolate, and a bit of coffee powder, taste amazing. Okay, just oatmeal and a little bit of bananas, outstanding. Oatmeal and then a bit of milk and then a bit of nuts. You know what I mean? You have your meal covered. So instead of making your own, trying out your own different mixes, you know, obviously it's just the corporates, right? They just want to, they want their customers to come back again, and then they want to sell off the product. So those are the strategies that they use. So I mean, rather than complicating it, just keep it very simple. Oatmeal is probably one of the best way to have your breakfast. And now in this case, your lunch will be your breakfast. So oatmeal is probably one of the best choice. Whole grain, anytime you can go for it, but don't go that, don't go to the whole grain or the millets after 5 o'clock if you're sleeping at 10 o'clock. Okay. At least leave about 5 hours of window that you're not going to consume anything after your grains, because grains, basically it contains a lot of fiber. You're going to be drinking a lot of water. So just keep it to the minimum, but I would say 5 hours is the window before you sleep. Don't just eat the grains and then just go to sleep. That's not the way to go about it. Okay. Which is again going to fast track your results. Definitely. Rice again falls into the same category, but then it depends on what type of rice you're having it, because it's a brown rice, a red rice, and white rice. So you can definitely have the white rice, but again, it depends on when you're going to have it, and definitely not at the night. That's not what I recommend, because there's an instant spike of insulin because of the sugar that the rice contains. And the next one is obviously the barley. Barley, again, if you're having it on a small quantity, you can definitely have it towards the night, but then I don't still recommend you to have it like, you know, towards your sleep timing. Okay. That's where I want you to be staying away from any of it. Okay. So that's pretty much it with the grain. So yeah, we have covered quite a bit on the nutrition side. The next one is the exercise. The exercise, I don't want to be going too deep into it. I want you to just stick to the basics of doing a little bit of strength and a little bit of cardio, probably about 6 days a week. That's by given. Okay. If you can find 30 to 45 minutes every day, then I think you're pretty much covered with it. Okay. First 5 minutes of stretching, and then eventually goes for the strength, and then do the cardio, and then cool off 45 minutes to 1 hour. That's pretty much it. You can just stop it. Okay. But if you don't have 1 hour in every day, like in 24 hours, I'm not buying it. Okay. Because it's like a very poor excuse with whatever you're coming up with. So make sure that you're going to keep your physical activity very consistent. And then have a mixed method of, you know, steady supply of the strength and the cardio on your schedule, so that your body is kind of adapting towards your uncomfortable lifestyle. So it's getting strong, okay, that, if I can put it that way. So yeah, that's the exercise side of it. So what are the benefits of doing the intermittent fasting, right? Definitely there are lots, okay? It'll definitely fast track your fat loss journey. If you wanted to look, if you're looking for, I would say it's just weight loss, because there is no steady supply of protein. Okay. So along with your fat, you're also incorporating your, I mean, you're also losing your muscle. Okay. Unfortunately. So it'll just fast track your weight loss journey. Definitely. All right. The next one is that it just simplifies your day, because you're skipping on a meal. So you don't have to be decisive on it, and you don't have to, you know, make yourself prepared for it. You don't have to prepare your meal, and then you don't have to eat it. So there's a lot of, it's not just about eating time that you're saving, but also thinking time, and then this cooking time, and then packing time, if there is any. So there are so many time that's being saved, so much of time that's being saved. So just about two meals that you need to look at, or probably even three, but then it just depends on that 8 hour or 6 hour window with whatever you're going to choose. So it just definitely simplifies your day. Absolutely, risk of cancer has just been, because like I said, there's a lot of religion, even the religious fasting has been carried on from the ancient ages, because they do it all, everybody does it for the reason. So again, there's a humongous benefit when it comes to the cancer, and definitely it'll help you to get lean. A lot of fat being burnt. So if you're just going to the gym and keeping your strength and cardio on a regular basis, then getting lean is not, it's not, never a problem at all. Okay. That's pretty much it when it comes to the benefits. Now, the next one is like, yeah, intermittent fasting definitely has an adverse effect. Okay, this is especially for the people who are beginning with it, because they find it really hard, really, really difficult when they're trying to adapt towards this lifestyle, because it's not that easy. So the first thing is, like, when somebody is actually having a lifestyle of 3 or 4 meals every day, plus a little bit of snacks, and then here and there a lot of water. So there's like a whole different operating model that the particular individual has been doing it for about a lot of years, ever since birth, if you ask me, right? So what happens when they suddenly cut things off from their life, you know, the brain is definitely going to react to it. And there's going to be a lot of psychological effects because there's changes in the supply of the food. So obviously it's not a good thing. And then your brain will do everything within its powers to, you know, for you to get back to whatever you've been doing. And then, you know, that's when the craving, the temptation, you know, the addiction, everything will just come into place. So it's more like forming a habit, breaking a habit. So everything is coming together. So it's kind of make you, like, you know, go nuts for a while. I mean, at least on the initial stages. But I'm not threatening you. I mean, this is the reality, because people are actually finding it really difficult to actually move on with this for at least on the starting stages. So first thing is, like, obviously there's a low sugar, because throughout the night you're fasting. And then even after waking up, another 8 hours of fasting. So your sugar levels will obviously be low, because it's the dinner that you had. And then when you wake up in the morning, you're just not supplying with the food. So obviously there's no glucose in your body. So your brain will start reacting in certain way. Your blood sugars are, like, super low. And then your energy will be, like, very down as well. So it's pretty hard to adapt. Like I said, low energy, definitely, because there's no thing. And then if you're not being consistent, it might backfire. So if you've been doing it for about 6 days, so eventually your body is trying to, you know, adapt and improvise with this situation. And then what happens if the craving comes in, if you have to go to the birthday party and then just smash a meal over there, unfortunately, which you're not supposed to do it. And then immediately it just kind of, like, reflects on your body, because, you know, your body's not ready for it, because it's trying to adapt. And then once you get a meal, and then what happens is, like, the chances are highly likely for that meal to turn as a fat, because, you know, you've not been supplying with the breakfast or one meal. And then now that one meal is going to be an extra thing, so it's not going to burn off. Okay, but again, it has a relationship with your metabolism, like how fast or how up is your metabolism. Based on that, it's going to be burning off, or it's going to be stored as fat. It's going to be purely determined by your metabolism as well. So yeah, if you've been inconsistent, it might just backfire on your thing. And then, like I said, for the first initial stages, you're going to be having a lot of difficulty. And then if you're a person who is having issues with your sleep, it might affect and just gives you a very low quality sleep. And then headache, like I said, this is actually being related to this one. Low sugar will leave you to low energy, and then the headache. Okay. So yeah, because the brain is not getting enough glucose from the food. And once brain is cut off, you are actually stopping the fuel. So your brain still need to function. So before it taps onto the fat, the stored fat, it just gives you the psychological effect, so that you will actually fall, as in not literally fall, but then you'll fall for your previous lifestyle. So you'll just go and smash a meal, and then okay, so you got used to it. The next day you're trying to do it again, it just gives you that kind of thing, and then, you know what I mean? So eventually it's going to hold you back, but you can't give into that. What you need to do is you need to take a very small baby steps, if that makes any sense. But make sure that you are being consistent, but don't just straightly go for the 16 hours of fasting. Okay. First, I want you to do it for like 8 hours of sleeping. And then when you wake up, you're doing it. The next day, push it to an hour, then push it to another hour, and then push it to another hour. So eventually you're going to get to that 16 hour window. So 16 hours of fasting. So this is how you need to cheat your brain or cheat your body to actually do it, so that it doesn't necessarily gives your body an immediate shock. So if you give an immediate shock, it's kind of like most likely it'll backfire and you won't be able to keep it consistent. So that's another way that I can give you. So these are the adverse effects of the intermittent fasting. All right. So intermittent fasting strategy is not recommended for everybody. Okay. Again, there's always an exception. The first one is definitely not for the pregnant women, because, you know, definitely not for breastfeeding women. Again, the baby needs all the nutrition and all that. So it's definitely not for the breastfeeding women, because it's not just about the calorie, cutting down the calorie, but it also not, you know, it's just the whole glycogen thing, the carbohydrate thing, everything is going to play its own role. So when you cut off a meal, it's kind of most likely to be backfiring for, especially for women like this, because not just for, just about the women, but also there's somebody else who's dependent on the food that the mother is consuming, right? So it's never recommended for them, okay? And not for the older people, because like I said, it's so, if let's say that if there's a person who is about 20 years of age, and there's another person 30 years of age, 40 years of age, 50 years of age, and they've been living all of these years with a different lifestyle for all of these years, right? So it just, so if there's someone who is trying to adapt on 60 years of age, if there's someone trying to adapt to this intermittent fasting, 60 years, they've been living their life in a different way. So the brain is like so much used to that kind of lifestyle. Now if they do the intermittent fasting, and that might just flip them out. You know what I mean? It will break them like on a different level, and then it would be able to go back. So I don't still recommend for them, for the older people. And then, you know, someone who is, you know, adolescents, it's not recommended. So these are the basics for on intermittent fasting. So that's quite a lot that we have covered. Okay. So how many of you found value in it? Type me in the comment box. And yeah, so this is the basics of intermittent fasting. So what I would say is that just try to adapt with it. If you are finding it really difficult with your day, if you have a very strict schedule where you won't be able to cook, or when you can't eat or anything of that sort, what you can possibly do is just, you can definitely adapt towards this lifestyle, but again, it takes work, it takes effort. Nothing is easy. Okay. What is easy is not, it's not going to stay for a long time. All right. So, the best way for you to do it is that first I want you to, you know, like after 8 hours of sleeping, okay, what I want you to do is just grab a meal on the next day, just push it to one for an hour, next day, push it for an hour. And then eventually you're going to be getting to that 16-hour window. Try having the clean food. By clean food, I mean, you know, the food that we have discussed. Stay with it, and then you see that also be consistent with your workouts. So that can possibly just give you, make you like, you know, get somewhere from somewhere. Okay. And again, it's got a lot of benefits as well. So make sure you kill it, and I will see you on the other episode. Okay. Bye-bye.